Thank you, Rusty and Cheryl, for reading today's Advent. I pray God's blessing upon you as we give a little bit later in the offering, but thank you for being here, and many of you are festive and dressing up 4 or 5 days before Christmas. So we are finishing up the 2025 theme on relationships. This whole year, we've been talking about relationships. And yeah, I wondered, when I first shared this back in January, you're like, what? How much can you talk about relationships, right? But we have. And all those messages and more are on the website if you want to go back and recap. But today's the third Sunday of Advent leading up to Christmas. And Advent means the arrival of a notable person, an event, or thing. So the notable person is Jesus Christ. The event is that Jesus was born in a stable and humble beginnings, and the thing is that Jesus became human and who died for our sins to bring salvation to all humanity. Part one, we looked at wait with hope. Hope is the foundation based on the goodness and faithfulness of God. Hope is a person, it's Jesus, that he will never leave us, he will never forsake us. That he is always redeeming, always good, always working for our good. Do we believe that? Wait with hope. Part two was peace with God. We all know what it's like to have a conflict in a relationship. We experience disharmony and anxiety and a lack of peace. We ask for forgiveness by saying, I'm sorry, because that relationship is worth it. But the most important relationship is our relationship with God. God took the first step toward humanity by sending his son to be born. And the vast host of the angels declare glory to God in the highest and peace on earth. They were amazed that the Creator was born a creature. And the good news is that Jesus came so we can have peace with God. That's why he came. Jesus came near you and me. He moved into the neighborhood and lived among us. Jesus came so we can have peace, even when we experience trouble, because Jesus has overcome the world. Jesus came near us so that we can have peace, not with just anybody, but with our Creator, with God. We've accepted his sacrifice on the cross, and we believe and have faith in him. And if we were to die, we know where we'll be. We'll be with Jesus. To find peace with God, we don't need to try harder. We need Jesus. Well, I'm a fan of iced coffee year-round, and even when it's cold outside, and a while back I was about to pull into a Dunkin' drive-thru because Peace Chapel runs on... My last name is Dunkin', by the way, if you don't know that. My last name is spelled correctly, but I was about to pull into a Dunkin' drive-thru to get a nice coffee for the day when a big SUV quickly pulled in ahead of me. Well, that didn't settle well with me. Honestly, right? It made me annoyed. It made me kind of, you know, I wasn't happy. I was kind of mad. Now I had to wait behind this rude driver. But I couldn't, you know, I could tell, I think they could tell I wasn't happy. I wasn't making any gestures. I'm a follower of Jesus. Sorry, I wouldn't do that. But they placed their order, and they pulled around, and then I placed my order as usual, and then my coffee, and then I pulled around behind them. Still miffed, still annoyed, still irked by the person in front of me who snuck in, right, like I had somewhere to be or something. And they received their order, and they pulled away into traffic. And so now it was my turn at the window to pay for my iced coffee, so I had my app ready, and when the Dunkin' employee said this, your coffee has already been paid for. That person in that SUV paid for my coffee. Now, did I feel like a big jerk? Because I think they could tell in their rearview mirror that I was not happy that they pulled in ahead of me. I couldn't even say thanks. They were gone. You know, we've all received something that we didn't deserve. We've all received things in our life we just did not deserve. We did something in school but didn't get in trouble from the principal when we should have. Or we were speeding down the street but didn't get that ticket from the officer, right? Just a warning, even though we were guilty. We broke curfew, or we were at fault in a fender bender but didn't receive the punishment that we deserved from our dad or our parents. We went to work with a bad attitude but received kindness from a friend. The day went from bad to worse, but someone went out of their way to lift our spirits and encourage us. We've all experienced those moments in life when we received something we definitely knew we did not deserve. And we felt it, right? And it hit like a ton of bricks, and it stops us in our tracks. Like it did with me in that line, hearing that. What do we do with that realization at that moment that I just received something that I did not deserve? What do we do with that moment when someone was kind to us, someone gave us what we didn't deserve? I've titled my message in this series on our relationship with Advent, Given with Love. Given with Love. You see, with Christmas just 4 short days away, the challenge still remains to open our hearts to the truth of Jesus, who came into our world, and how that impacts us in a meaningful way. How God took the initiative, the first step, to come close to you and me. How God did that by putting into play the greatest gift of all. He gave His Son. So I know you know the Christmas story. I'm telling you something you've already heard, but I want us to look at Luke chapter 1, starting at verse 26. In the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at these words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "Well, how will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." And the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her 6th month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. God sends Gabe to the Virgin Mary, who is pledged to Joseph, and Gabriel greets her, and she is she's highly favored, and the Lord is with her. Mary, understandably, is greatly troubled and doesn't fully understand what is happening. But the angel reassures her that she has found favor with God, that she will conceive and give birth to a son, and to name him Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah. But Mary asks a really good question. "I'm a virgin. How can this be?" And Gabriel tells her, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High, which is God, will overshadow you." Mary answers, I'm the Lord's servant. May your words be fulfilled." It's quite a remarkable exchange between Gabriel and Mary. Mary is about 14 or 15 years old. She's engaged to be married when an angel from God greets her. This greeting from the angel means to rejoice. It means to be cheerful. It could mean welcome. It could mean a good day. "Hail to you. I'm glad to see you." That kind of a greeting. It implies a wish for well-being or for happiness. But instead, Mary is full of fear. She's troubled. She doesn't understand. And when Gabriel tells her that she is highly favored, it means greatly graced, endowed with grace, enriched with grace. There was nothing in Mary herself that deserved this greeting. Mary was not sinless all her life. That's why God chose her. No. God's word is clear and true when it says in Romans chapter 3, verse 10, as the scriptures say, there is no one without sin. None. No one is righteous. No one, not one person. No one is good. No one is innocent. We've all fallen short of God's standards, and that included Mary. Mary needed grace just like all sinners, you and me, need God's grace. Mary also isn't the co-redeemer of the human race with Jesus. No. Romans 3:24, God treats us much better than we deserve. Amen? And because of Christ Jesus, He freely accepts us and sets us free from our sins. It doesn't say, and Christ Jesus and Mary, Christ Jesus alone. And since Mary isn't sinless, she needed a Savior just like you and I do. It's all because of Jesus that God accepts us and sets us free from our sins. All because of Jesus. Mary was shown favor because God chose to show her favor, not because she deserved His favor. Mary is a person of great integrity, though. She's obedient, she's believing, and she's dedicated to following God's word, and she's also the mother of the Messiah. But God didn't choose her because of her noble virtues or outstanding character, but because of the unmerited favor of God Himself. God blessed her not because she is worthy, but because she's an object of God's goodness. Another part of the greeting from Gabriel was, "The Lord is with you." You are not alone, Mary. God, Adonai, Yahweh Himself will be with you. The kids are having a great time downstairs. Awesome. Love that. Love that. I think that's Evan, by the way. That was great. He's got some pipes. Maybe he'll be a worship leader. All right. Throughout this whole pregnancy, God will be with you, Mary. The Lord God loves you very much. He is very near to you. And even though she heard all this from the angel, she was still afraid and deeply troubled and confused. Notice the manger behind me, and notice what's above it, the cross. Jesus was born in a smelly manger designed for animals and ultimately gave His life on a cross to pay the penalty for your sin and mine. It gives hope, it gives peace, and it also points to God's love today. Love. Even though you hear and know that God loves you, and we sang it earlier, and that He will be with you, you are sometimes afraid, and you sometimes you're deeply troubled. And God is wanting you to know today that He loves you and is for you. When the world is saying other things, trying to bring you down and discourage you, Jesus loves me. That God gave His Son, it was given with love for you. Nobody twisted God's arm and said, "Okay, uncle, I'll send my son." God said, I love these people. I'm willing to give up my son to die for these people. It's personal. It's intimate. It's the thing you need most in your life. Human love isn't enough. Deep dish pizza isn't enough. God's love goes deeper than anything else. See, when someone hands you a gift, a Christmas present, they don't usually throw it at you unless you're sitting around the tree and it's a family member, right? Here, catch, you know. Usually they walk up to you and reach over and hand you a gift. What's the next logical step on your part? Here, I got you something. Merry Christmas. What's the next part? Say thank you, of course. Then is that it? Accept it. What do you do when you accept it? You open it, but what do you have to do first?
Unwrap it.
You have to kind of receive it. Receive it, right? Not just toss it to you, but thank you. And you received it from them, right? It went from their hands to yours. You're like, oh, wow, thank you. I just received a gift today during the meet and greet. And I'm not going to share any of it with you, though. You have a part to play. You must receive the gift. God is not going to walk up to you and throw his love at you. He'll walk up to you and say, I have a gift for you. And you can stand there. Thank you. Thank you, God. Wow, you love me. Wow. Thank you. That's not enough. You have to receive it. I go to church. I listen to Caleb. I read my Bible. That's not enough. You've got to receive his love. This morning, I want to share a devotional I read from Bethany Allen on Advent Meditations from the YouVersion Bible app. If you don't have that Bible app, there's been a billion downloads since it began. And it's the Bible wherever you go. And so I encourage you to download the YouVersion Bible app. But she asked this question, what does receiving love do for you? What does receiving love do for you? Well, receiving God's love fuels my relationship with God. Fuels my relationship with God. When you truly receive God's love, it is what keeps your relationship with Him from becoming a mere religious experience or exercise. It's when you stop trying to be good enough or to be clean up your act and just receive God's love where you are at. This love instead transforms your relationship into something deeply personal and dynamic and real. That no matter what you go through, what happens to you, what is said about you, or what you have done in the past or will do in the future, you know that God's love for you is never ending. The Apostle Paul's prayer is for spiritual growth. In Ephesians chapter 3, says this, Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide and how long and how high and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Jesus wants you to keep growing in God's love. Have you arrived? Do you have everything you need from God? I don't think there's any hands up. The roots of God's love will keep you strong. They're hidden. They're unseen, but they're there. Receive God's love, his wide, long, high, and deep love for you today. Not for your grandma, not for your mom, for you. For you, it's specific. Receiving God's love, it fuels your relationship with God. You know, today, tomorrow, I've got to get more gas in my car because it's running out of fuel. You need to fuel your relationship with God by spending time, because you get empty. Life is busy. Life is crazy. And so we tend to drain, right? We need to spend time and fill that back up. Receiving God's love, secondly, frees me to see myself rightly. Receiving God's love, it frees me to see myself rightly. It radically changes how you view your own identity, which changes how you show up to the world. Your identity is not what the world tells you you are. Your identity is not even what you tell yourself you are. Your identity is who God says you are. He made you. Receiving God's love helps you to hold rightly to what it, to who it is that He has made you to be, and it gives you the gift of living into that, you know, into that dignity and offering it to the, to others as well, because you know who loves you and you have His identity, and so you are able to show up to the world. 1 John 3:1 says this, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God." And that is what we are. You are a child of God. You are a child of God. Let me say it one more time. You are a child of God. God the Father lavishes His love on you, freeing you up to see and to be who God has made you to be. C.S. Lewis says this, "The more we let God take us over, the more truly ourselves we become, because He made us." Like you, we often try to find our identity in another person, or a job title, or where we live, or what we drive, or what we wear. Those things come and go. I'm so grateful that bell bottoms went out. Or leisure suits. Or parachute pants. That stuff comes and goes, but God's identity, who He's made you to be, always stays the same. The closer you get to Jesus, the more you become who you were created to be. Can I just step down here for a second? Can I just tell you? My heart as your pastor is to see you build your life on God's Word. Not my opinion, not what I think, not what some book I've read. Build your life on the Word of God. Because why? Because you can face the difficulties in your life when you do. You get bad news from a doctor, you go to God's Word. You stand on His promises. You lean into God more. That's my heart as your pastor. You call, sometimes I'm able to pray with you. I don't have the answers, but I know someone who does. Your time with the Lord in prayer, in reading, you build your life on that. And you come on a Sunday and you fellowship and you worship together and you plug into a small group and you continue to grow deeper in God's love, being rooted, because storms will come in your life. And I've been there with you with some of them. Storms will come. I'm not the anchor. Jesus is the anchor. God's Word is the anchor. God's Word. If you're not in God's Word, you're not in fellowship and relationship with God. He's not mad at you for that. He loves you and He desires for you to come and be with Him. All right. That's my heart as your pastor. Receiving God's love frees you to see yourself rightly. Receiving God's love, lastly, forms you. It forms me. When you can receive God's love, you will always, always, always be changed by it. It orders in you what is disordered. His shalom meets your anxiety and it casts it out. His perfect love pushes out all the fear that lives in you, your mind, your body, and your imagination, and He is able to flood you with peace. How many know what I'm talking about in those moments? His love is a force that changes you from the inside out. 2 Corinthians 3:18, "So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image." You are a reflection of Jesus, and it's Jesus who is making you more and more like Himself. You are not the same person you used to be. Don't stop there. Keep allowing the Spirit of God to grow you, to transform you, to change you, to form you into the image of Jesus. Receiving God's love forms you. Advent. This Christmas season, we can just go through the motions. Just go through the motions, not thinking deeply about what Jesus has done, what God has done, and we can just go through it and just another year, check. But this Christmas can be different if we open our hearts to the truth as we wait with hope and have peace with God. And we do that by receiving God's love, given with love. Given with love. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Rusty read it earlier. God's gift of his Son to us was given with love. Given with love. But the question remains, how can we receive this gift of love? How can we receive it? Just like a gift, how can we receive this gift of love? Well, through surrender. To receive love by surrendering to something. It's yielding and letting go of what we cannot control and yielding to the one who is offering love to us. It's the regular practice of releasing the ways we protect ourselves from pain or the fear of it and giving up to God our assumptions about what that will or could be. It's an invitation, this surrender, to be dependent, to set aside our self-reliance, to set aside our self-sufficiency, and to open ourselves to the possibility of receiving something that we cannot create on our own. It's surrendering. What do you need to surrender to God today? Will you become dependent on God and not on yourself? So how can we receive this gift of love? Through surrender. Secondly, through vulnerability. Vulnerability. That means letting go of the walls we've carefully built to protect ourselves from being hurt. Love can't be received if we don't allow ourselves to be seen for who we truly are. Not just the parts of us that are polished and presentable, but the messy and the broken parts too. It's showing up with vulnerability. Will you let down your guard and receive God's love today? Will you be honest with yourself and your need for God's love? So how can we receive this gift of love? Surrender, vulnerability, and the third one is through trust. Trust. To trust is to believe that the other has our best interest at heart, that they will not harm us, but rather meet us where we need them most. And we're talking about God, right? In the context of receiving God's love, of letting his love find us, trust means believing that he knows us completely, that he sees our flaws, he sees our brokenness, but he still chooses to love us without any reservations. That alone right there should offer our hands of worship to the Lord. Will you trust Jesus to make his home in you? Will you trust him? From the manger, from the cradle to the cross. A certain medieval monk announced he would be preaching next Sunday evening on the love of God. And as the shadows fell and the light ceased to come through the cathedral windows, the congregation gathered, and in the darkness of the altar, the monk lit a candle and he carried it to the crucifix. First, he illuminated the crown of thorns. Next, the two wounded hands. Then the marks of the spear wound. In the hush that fell, he blew out the candle and he left the sanctuary. There was nothing else to say. Jesus on the cross proved God's love for you and me. In that line that day at Dunkin', I received the person's kindness. I didn't refuse it. I didn't try to pay for it. It was already paid for. What does receiving love do for you? Receiving God's love, it fuels our relationship with God. It frees us to see ourselves rightly, not how the world sees us, not what someone tells us growing up. Right? This relationship with God and His love, we can see ourselves for who we really are. This is why this book is so important. Receiving God's love, it forms us into His image and His character. Let's pray.